Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions, and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
So today we're going to talk about the types of regime you may get prescribed by your doctor if you're going to go through an IVF cycle. What's the best regime? Well, the truth is there isn't any. They're all much of a muchness. Randomized controlled trials have suggested that long down regulation, short down regulation really are all in the same ballpark in terms of success rates. The things that a doctor does, what your specialist should be doing, is not necessarily following some sort of easy recipe book. They should be taking into account a whole range of factors in determining the right regime and the right dosage of drugs to be giving you. And that takes experience and training. And that's why when you're finding that you need IVF, you also need to find a specialist with experience and proper training. I've said this before, that there are many general gynecologists who are dabbling in IVF. They're not necessarily getting the right treatment for you. So find someone who's experienced, someone who's been working in the field for 5 or more years, and preferably someone that's got a subspecialty qualification in IVF, a CREI it's called, on the end of their qualifications, in addition to the fellowship of our college. So what that doctor will be doing is looking at a number of things. Probably the first will be your age, because the older you are, the more dosage of medication you need to produce the same response in terms of the numbers of eggs. The second is the number of eggs you actually have in your ovary, called the ovarian reserve, and we measure that two ways. One is something called anti-Müllerian hormone, AMH, and the other is antral follicle count, which is an ultrasound looking, again by an expert, at the number of small follicles there are in the ovary. And that gives a good indication of your ovarian reserve. The higher your ovarian reserve, the more eggs you can expect. And probably more importantly, the lower the AMH, the less number of eggs you get, and therefore the higher the dose of medication that you might be required to have. Your weight also makes a difference. The heavier you are, the more dose of medication you need to stimulate those ovaries. Your previous history, if you've been through a previous IVF cycle, will actually be almost the best marker of what the dose this cycle should be. So that's why the doctors will ask you about the dosages of your previous cycles, if you've had any. The next thing the doctor will do will be to decide whether to use what's called long down regulation or a short cycle. So long down regulation starts in the third week of the cycle before you actually have your ovary stimulated, and you'd start taking a drug which switches off your pituitary hormones in preparation for the use of the synthetic hormones. That's the way we all learned to do IVF back in the 1990s and early 2000s. Almost every cycle was a long down regulation. Then along came something called the antagonists, the GnRH antagonists. For the long down regulation, we'd been using agonists, GnRH agonists, but they take longer to work, which is why it's called a long protocol and we need to go on for longer. The advantage of the antagonists was immediate, in that they switched the hormones off immediately. And so we don't start those now until 5 days into the stimulation cycle. So from your perspective, patients much prefer the short protocol because there's less injections to have, less medication to have. So 95% of cycles in Australia are now done with antagonists. The medications are to stimulate the eggs to grow in the ovary, predominantly FSH type hormones. There are a variety of those. There is now in Australia 5 of these on the market, And all of them in clinical trials would suggest a similar success rate. None's better than any others. For a small percentage of patients, possibly those that have LH activity as well as FSH may benefit them, but an expert is needed to work out that for you. Other variations on the basic treatment in terms of drugs and drug dosages include the use of adjuvant treatments, adding in LH specifically, for instance, or growth hormone. Growth hormone is probably reserved for very few patients. It's expensive and the evidence is still not totally clear that there's any advantage. And it's generally only used when you've been trying to get pregnant for a number of cycles. It's sort of a desperate last move. So one of the regimes that has been popularized in Japan has been minimal stimulation. So what's minimal stimulation? To some extent, it's in the eye of the beholder. For instance, the dosage we standard use in Australia of around 150 units per day for women under the age of 35 in America would be considered a minimal dose because they use 200, 400 units as standard even in young patients. Not surprisingly, they get a high incidence of hyperstimulation syndrome. But what the Japanese have done is actually reduce even further than the 150. They go down to small doses of maybe 50, maybe even only using tablets, ovulation induction tablets. And their goal is to produce one or two eggs in every cycle. It makes it simple, but it doesn't per cycle produce a very good pregnancy rate. In fact, per cycle, Japan has the lowest rate in the world. They have a high number of cancellations, and if you've only got one or two eggs, it's unlikely that you're going to end up with a good blastocyst at the end of the day. So minimal stimulation, which is what the Japanese have done, is not what we do in Australia. You've then got to ask, why do they do that in Japan? And why are people following that regime? In Japan, the government covers the IVF cycle. They do not cover the drugs. And drugs in Japan are expensive. So the way to keep the cost down is to do a normal cycle, but on very low dose medication, inexpensive medication. At the end of the day, after multiple attempts in Japan, the pregnancy rate cumulatively probably is as good as anywhere in the world. But per cycle and going through that pain of not knowing whether you're pregnant or not for that 2 weeks after an embryo gets put back adds up over time. But the Japanese are stoic people. They can deal with that. In Australia, we're lucky in that the pharmaceutical benefits scheme covers the drugs. So the amount of drugs we use does not cost the patient anything more than a prescription charge. The drugs in an IVF cycle in Australia on average are costing somewhere between $1,800 and $2,000 per cycle. So don't waste them. So minimal regimes are being used in some clinics in Australia. They appeal to people who want things to be more natural, but I can tell you the results are not as good. So I personally rarely go down that track. I always aim at an adequate dosage in the first cycle, not too much, but not too little. And that's what being an expert enables me to do. Long experience, understanding of what's going on scientifically, and being able to treat you as an individual. So if you're going into an IVF cycle, there are multiple regimes that can be prescribed. There are some standard ones, but even those standard ones don't apply to every patient. You need an expert to help you get there. And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey, all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.